Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Semper Friday. Welcome into the Friday edition of Saints Training Camp Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWLAMFMN.com. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Tim Zimmer taking your phone calls at Master Control. They are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Still unpacking last night's 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Saints in the preseason opener for the first time since 2014. The Saints win their preseason opener. Brooks Kubina covers LSU football for The Advocate. Will join us at 4:35 talking to LSU and spring practice. They'll have their first scrimmage of the fall, tomorrow. Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, 10 years in the NFL. He's an analyst for CST. We'll get his thoughts at 6:35 on yesterday's preseason opener for the New Orleans Saints. Again, first impressions overall, Bobby, have they changed after a night's sleep as to what you saw last night for the Saints and Jaguars, in particular the Saints defense, the first team unit that didn't get off the field?
No, not really. I guess there was one practice that was kind of ho-hum, and it is special teams. The first preseason game. So you can have ho-hum preseason games. You can have ho-hum practices. Like I said last night, I just like because who you counting on now, who's playing. You know, I have the Cam Jordans or Drew Brees of the world playing, but what do you do in the first quarter? I'll be interested to see come a week from we'll be getting ready for kickoff next Friday night against when the Cardinals come to town. Can we get off to a fast start? Do we win in the first quarter? Do we win in the first half? Because those are names you're familiar with. Now, Sean Payton's evaluating the whole team, but from a fan's perspective, that's when you really have confidence in the team and maybe not necessarily reading their press clippings, but to have, a dominant defense where that was definitely not out the gate coming against Jacksonville as far as that dominant defense. And you know what? As a fan, you want to see that. There's nothing more than when your defense kicks butt that your fans tend to cheer louder than even when the offense is awesome. I mean, when you look at it, Christian, all of a sudden I'm looking at my notes and I'm saying, whoa, do we even stop Jacksonville? You look, and they really on both sides, five drives, five scores. I mean, I even took in my notes that the first time we even made a play was Oyemata had minus two tackle for a loss to start the second quarter. So I guess I was just disappointed with that first quarter considering how well we had practiced and how much passion and emotion they were showing throughout training camp. That's from a defensive perspective. So it was somewhat disappointing in that way. But I think it was a good team to play, a team like Jacksonville and how they're structured. They're going to tend to win in the trenches and smack you in the mouth. And so I think that was a good first preseason game to play against a team like the Jaguars. Because when you look at Jacksonville, how can you not say they were amongst the best in the AFC last year? They made it to the championship game. Now, we all know they lost to the Patriots. They were right there in the fourth quarter with the lead. So I look at it a good opponent to play to kick off the preseason and get ready for the 2018 season.
Bobby, I'm not trying to let anybody off the hook, in particular the Saints defense. They did not play well. They did not tackle well. But the only thing that we can say to that is, look, they haven't gone live in any portion in practice in the 12 days leading up to this game. So that's why I'm willing to cut them a little bit of a slack. Let's see if it improves on Friday. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. After the first preseason game, who hurt their chances of making the Saints roster the most? You can cast your vote online at WWL.com. Linebacker Colton Jumper, cornerback Devontae Harris, cornerback P.J. Williams, who will be out for about a week after a rib bruise. You saw him go down in the second half. Running back Shane Vereen or defensive end Al-Quadeen Muhammad. And if I had to answer this, I'd like to have two choices, Bobby. It would be linebacker Colton Jumper Also, Al Muhammad. Colton Jumper missed two plays.
Right,
in
missed
the open
two tackles,
field.
Yep.
Poor tackling, poor angles, poor technique in general. And I just said that they hadn't done a lot of tackling in training camp, but this is stuff that's pretty basic, fundamental things that he was missing out on. And Al-Qadim Muhammad better get his acting gear pretty quickly because he's getting buried on the depth chart pretty fast, especially from Jayron Elliott the night he had last night.
Yeah, and it's all about what you put on film. It doesn't matter what you accomplished last year. So, and then also Devontae Harris. You know, he's had outstanding practice, but what are you going to do in a game? I mean, you can't afford all of a sudden you're going to stop an opponent, then you have a critical penalty go against you. And more than one, and we all know busted coverage is what he's had in the past. So he really went, Devontae Harris, I would say, given an opportunity, went from the penthouse to the outhouse, so to speak. When you look at last year, he started the very first game against the Vikings, and it was definitely that weak link, and we've seen him get it done in practice. But you got to do it in the games, whether it's preseason or the regular season, to get that trust factor. Another one, you know, we look at who's going to take over for Mark Ingram. I think Jonathan Williams definitely took a major leap over Terrence West. I know Terrence West looked kind of like you and me, Christian. He looked a little chunky. I mean, you know, I was looking in the sidelines. And go,
I'll take that. That's fair.
Is that like a side, you know, profile or something? But right now, Jonathan Williams definitely has the league lead as far as the most deuce-like running back. I think Boston Scott's going to get opportunity. But if you look at Jonathan Williams and his style, he just looks more like Deuce. Not Deuce, Mark Ingram. And what I mean by that, when you look at Mark Ingram, okay, like 5'10", 215, Jonathan Williams, 6', 220, in that range. And then when you look at Boston Scott, he looks more the scat bat. And now he can run between the tackles, but it's not like all of a sudden ground and pound when you are attempting to run the football that you're going to have Boston Scott, who's like a compact 5'6", 200 pounds, but right now, I definitely say to take Deuce's place. I mean, Deuce. I keep saying Deuce. Mark Ingram's place, it would be Jonathan Williams.
Terrible news for former LSU Tiger running back Darius Geis in the preseason opener. He has a torn ACL, likely to miss the remainder of the season after having surgery sometime after the swelling goes down. Terrible news for Darius Geis and the Washington Redskins. James in New Orleans, longshoreman, and you two at 504. 260-1870, text 870-870. Your first impressions of the Saints after their first preseason contest, a win 24-20 over Jacksonville. This is Saints Radio, WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Back to the phones we go, Houdat Nation. Longshoreman, what's going on, Longshoreman? You're on WWL. Your first impressions of the Saints last night in the preseason opener.
Hey, thank you, Christian and Bobby and Tim there on Master Control. Man, thank you for taking my call. Bobby and Christian, I know, you know, hey, it wasn't the stellar start on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, and maybe not the best beautiful drive that we would like to see, but, hey, it's preseason, so let's focus on some positive things and a couple of bright spots that that stood out to me was, I think, Tre'Quan Smith. Man, he had I thought he looked great. He had some good grabs. Good positive yardage, and let's talk about Jonathan Williams. I think, Bobby, you agree or disagree, I think he could be the guy that we need to carry that load, especially while Mark Ingram is out, because on one particular play, even with the four rushes, 26 yards and a TD, one play in particular, it looked like he was down. It was a crowd of would-be tacklers around him. All of a sudden, you see his legs turning, and he just comes out and gains another 6 or 7 yards out of it. I thought that was
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jonathan Williams had a long gain of 13 yards and, listen, took advantage of his opportunity. You know, four carries, like you said, 6.5 yard average per carry. I thought even Boston Scott, the one opportunity he had, he gained 7 yards. And I could see Boston Scott definitely getting more opportunities, whether it's against the Cardinals.
Oh, without a doubt, I can see Boston Scott. He can contribute. And also, I think that Tate, looks like he's going to, you know, that might be the guy we're looking for to return the punts and kicks and maybe share between those two.
Yeah, it's going to be a competition that's to bring out the best in everyone. You hear that all the time. But going back to Boston Scott, I mean, He excelled at Louisiana Tech. You know, when you look at breaking tackles and gaining yards after contact, he averaged, you know, 5.7 yards a carry. So all of a sudden he has one run, 7 yards. I think the Saints are going to want to see more what he could do, whether it's, like I said, the rest of the preseason or come this Friday against the Cardinals or, you know, when you go out to San Diego and you practice against the Chargers, because he seems like that he would excel even more than just in a thumping or a practice type environment, but could be a gamer. And he had that nice kickoff return. Now, I know we had, it was a penalty where we say, I think he got nullified, obviously, the 41-yard return. But there's a lot of competition between him and Brandon Tate there as a returner. Now, I think Brandon Tate, because he's received more than 200 punts or right at that, he's been a returner. A 10-year career, he's had 3 for a touchdown. Where Boston Scott, the big play he had on special teams was a kick return, not necessarily a punt return. So, hey, it's a lot of competition, but I think Boston Scott is right where he needs to be to compete. And, you know, they obviously want him to succeed considering, you know, whenever you're a draft pick and they want, and especially the scouts, they want to look like, okay, we are doing the right thing as far as who we drafting, who we invested money in, and Boston Scott, when you're a 6-7 round draft pick, that's kind of like a free agent like Pierre Thomas. So,
yeah, but you're the cheaper option. If all things considered, right. You're the cheaper option. I mean, Brandon Tate would get the veteran minimum. He's over the 10-year threshold, so
yeah.
that's about a million dollars opposed to what you're paying Boston Scott. If all things being equal, they're going to take Boston Scott as their return guy.
Yeah, now but Christian, do you trust him that he's going to field 10 out of 10 punts? See,
I haven't seen him do it yet.
Yeah, that's exactly. I would say even though it's preseason, put him back there as a punt returner.
Yep.
If he fumbles, he fumbles. The game doesn't count. But you have to see what he can bring to the table. But, Boston Scott, from day one, even the OTAs and minicamp, he's played with a lot of confidence. And he looks like he belongs. He has not been overwhelmed. He catches the ball smooth. You know, it'd be interesting to see. You know, you got to have a backup. Kind of you're running the same type plays that Alvin Kamara would run. Now, you want him to stay healthy. And whether that would be a Shane Vereen or Boston Scott, I think they would tend to go with the younger guy unless Shane Vereen really could show the Saints something in preseason.
I'm looking at Boston Scott, and I think that if he gets an opportunity to return some punts and he fields them cleanly, again, I think he solidifies himself as that return guy. Bobby, tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't think that they're going to go, all right, let's see, we can carry – a player for both, one for kick return and one for punt return.
No.
Ideally, they want one to handle both.
Yeah, because the limited roster, now expanded roster, yeah, you could afford to do that. But you cannot have a bobbled punt return and you lose possession. We all know when that occurred with Tommy Lee Lewis. Remember Devontae Harris when he ran into him and he tried to pick it up? Those are the kind of plays. The NFL is too good. You cannot have that. You have to feel the ball 100%. And I think once Boston Scott gets his hands on the ball, he definitely is nifty, he's shifty, and kick return, the flight of the ball is different than a punt return. That's why I would just throw Boston Scott out there as a punt returner.
Yep.
You know, like, okay, like maybe give Boston Scott a game and then, you know, give Brandon Tate a game. Now,
they didn't force a punt until late in the ball game yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. It was like, well, we would like to see more punt returns, but our defense got to stop them and force the opponent to punt. So hopefully that'll be the case come Friday against the Cardinals.
Coming back after our CBS News update, Longshoreman, thanks for the phone call. We'll get to James in New Orleans, Derek in Baton Rouge, and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Brooks Kubina covering LSU football for The Advocate. We'll check in on LSU as they're set for their first scrimmage of fall camp. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online at WWL.com. After the first preseason game, who hurt their chances to make the Saints' final roster the most? Linebacker Colton Jumper out of Tennessee, the undrafted player. Cornerback Devontae Harris. Cornerback P.J. Williams. Running back Shane Vereen or defensive end Al Quadeen Muhammad. Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Bobby and Christian, Sports Talk rolls on here on this Friday afternoon. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Other NFL preseason action tonight. The Atlanta Falcons are on the road taking on the New York Jets. You're going to see Sam Darnold make his New York Jets quarterbacking debut. The Detroit Lions are on the road for Chucky's return, John Gruden's return to the sideline. That kicks off at 9:30. The Falcons and Jets at 6:30. And also on Saturday, Minnesota takes on Denver at 8:05, along with the L.A. Chargers and the Arizona Cardinals at 9. That will conclude week one of the preseason. And, of course, last night, Bobby, you also saw Baker Mayfield make his preseason debut with the Cleveland Browns. I got to tell you, from what I saw and a lot of the highlights, I was pretty impressed.
Well, he was at least 50%. Don't go overboard. What, he was 11
or 20? I'm just talking about his ability to
be able to
stay in the pocket.
Hey, listen, how can you not cheer for Baker Mayfield? The reason why I say that, anybody that's going to walk on twice, two different places, and succeed at the level he has, Heisman Trophy winner, no. You're just being a hater if you don't like Baker Mayfield. I mean, think about that. He walked on at Texas Tech, walks on at Oklahoma, and you know what he meant to the Sooners, and he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Listen, people want to compare him to Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel is not on the level of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is more disciplined and has more pocket awareness within the pocket. So that's going to be key. It's good you can extend plays with your feet, but you still got to be able to make the throws from the pocket. And listen, now, I don't necessarily think just because what he did last night, he's going to start day one. Look at Tyrod Taylor. What was he, 9 of 9? So he didn't throw an incompletion. So it'll be interesting to see. You could bet or estimate when you're going to see Baker Mayfield in there. But he even acknowledged that, no, he's not the starter right now. So I from the first game now, the Browns, what did they have to lose? They only won one game the past two seasons. But I still think Coach Jackson's going to go with Tyrod Taylor to start the season.
If they're truly about changing the culture and competition, I mean, wouldn't you say that Baker Mayfield's probably the guy that you want to, I mean, start week one?
Well, not necessarily if Coach Jackson, because what if they start with Baker Mayfield and they're 0-4 or something, or they struggle, they 1-3, and then you don't want to all of a sudden bench Baker Mayfield, because, come on, the coach wants to keep his job. He wants to win. Yeah. So I think the more to transition from Tyrod Taylor, who put it this way, whatever happens in the preseason, the coaching staff, they're going to go to whoever gives them the better chance, what they think, to win and get off to a fast start. And hopefully it's not a fast start, because the Saints are one of those games that they could be trying to win. Now, there's no way in hell we should lose to the Browns. I mean, I know that's happened in the past with an upset, but no, that'd be extremely disappointing, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield. The Saints should take care of the Cleveland Browns.
Back to the phones we go. Derek on line 3. You're on WWL, Derek.
Hey, I was just a couple of comments. One, I was impressed by Trey Edmonds at fullback. I'd like to see him play more. And then as a whole, I would love to see more reps from more players. That's something I wanted to ask you and Bobby. Is this going to happen where we see Jonathan Williams, Boston Scott, even Michael Floyd more in the upcoming game?
Well, I think Michael Floyd, the reason why you didn't see him much, he's a late arrival. And Brandon Tate didn't get a whole lot of offensive snaps, if you recall as well. Trey Edmonds, I got to ask you this, Derek. I only saw him on one or two plays at fullback, so it's hard for me to say I'm impressed with him. I think that they're trying to, because they're so deep, even at running back, they're trying to create a way that he can find his way on this roster, because I think he's in jeopardy.
And, you know, he's outstanding on special teams. But, you know, when you look at it, James, the average, we were below average. We only had 60 plays. You should, especially with our offensive structure, we should have 65 plays at the minimum and somewhere 70, 75, because we have more prolific offenses in the NFL. So that was somewhat disappointing. We couldn't convert on third down at the beginning. We end up being 5 of 11, 45%. But both defenses kind of struggled getting the opponent as the game when you're putting different bodies out there to stop the offense on third down. But we only had 60 plays, and that's why it's almost to the point where a lot of times the coaching staff, when you do have limited snaps, you could tell a player, and that's why I was saying about Boston Scott or Jonathan Williams, or Boston Scott and Brandon Tate in the return game, this is your game. Now, hopefully you get opportunities to show the coaches something. But a lot of times when you're splitting within a game, man, it might be you might have one chance to impress the coaches, or maybe even a couple, versus if you have an entire game, you could double those opportunities. And so but that's hard to evaluate when you try to play a lot of different people. Like the Jaguars had 66 plays. That's about right when you're trying to have some kind of defensive rotation. But we only had 60 plays at offensive team.
Bobby, I got a good text here at 870-870, number 55, meaning Jerone Elliott is what we need. He was giving the quarterback fits. Now, let me say this. It's just worth pointing out. Look who he's going
against.
Who is he beating?
Now, yeah.
Exactly. But here's what I think you're going to see, because when you start having days like this and games like this, it now forces the coaches to go, okay, what does he look like against the better competition? Let's see if you can get him some snaps against the Cardinals ones or twos. Not the threes, but the ones. So that's what you'll know how intrigued they are by Jerone Elliott. And look, he's a veteran. He's done it in the league for a little while. But I think that when you start to see him get those snaps with the ones, that's when you can go, okay, yes, the coaches are truly intrigued by this player.
Well, we haven't heard of Jerone Elliott, but he's not a virgin in the NFL. I mean, he played 38 games for the Packers. So when you say, oh, he's a sleeper, he's a sleeper because we don't necessarily follow Packers football. But he's played 38 games. And now, Christian, I said this last night. He's a four-year veteran, 26 years of age, out of Toledo, looks the part, 6'3", 255. When they had the scrimmage at Tulane, I said, watch out for these veterans. You know, even from the OTAs in minicamp, Deuce was all over Jay Bromley, the five-year guy to Syracuse. I named three guys that are competing with these young guys, and you want to always catch the coach's attention on film. But Jay Bromley, the number 90, George Johnson, out of Rutgers. We all know he came on the team last year at the end of the season. I think in one game, he ended up at the end of back in the season having three sacks for the Saints. And he just came on board when in OTAs, minicamp, or even training camp. Well, Jerone Elliott has been able to be with the team since the OTAs and minicamp. And we're even bringing up George Johnson, Christian. Look, we've seen him do it in the Saints uniform last year. He had a half a sack. He was part of a half a sack and had two quarterback hurries. So that's intriguing when you look at the guys that they've played before in the NFL, and a change of scenery, a different opportunity, it might be definitely the magic formula of what they need. And now what he needs to do, that being Elliott, is, what are you going to do against the Cardinals? What are you going to do in practice? But he's been catching our eye as far as, like, I don't know, they're not sacking the quarterback to the ground, but that looks like that he would have had a sack in practice. The bottom line is we've been taking notes on him in practice, and he's had success. But I didn't know he was going to have this kind of success. I mean, he had – I don't want to say Hall of Fame.
The preseason.
He had all pro. If you look at it, Christian, he was third in tackles. When you look at it behind Lovin and Lawrence, that's another one, the two-year guy, Devereaux Lawrence. But you look at Elliott, 2.5 sacks, quarterback hit, tackle for loss, and then we talk about ball hawking, whether it's interception or, hey, go for the ball. Not only sack the quarterback, how about you force a fumble? We had two of those, and then you know what else the main thing? He had a tackle on special teams. So when you activate him on game day, he might be a backup and might get in that rotation and get maybe 10, 15 snaps. But then you can count on him and trust him on special teams and that he'll have a tackle, and he was not going to be a weak link. Well, no, that – I don't know what he's done in his career, but I would venture to say – that going into his fourth year and all what he accomplished with Green Bay, he's never had this kind of game, whether it's preseason or the regular season.
Text here at 870-870. Is David Onyemata considered a lock on the roster and a starter at this point? The answer to that is definitively yes and yes. Coming back for James in New Orleans. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Just reading the headline on our website at WWL.com. Scoot comes out of the closet for New Orleans red dress run. Check out the article and video at WWL.com. The Red Dress Run coming up this weekend. I know Tim Zimmer's done it before as well.
But Christian, Tim doesn't look as good in a dress as Scoot.
I don't know if I'd want to see either one of them in a dress, to be honest with you.
Well, but
I'm not judging Scoot. I don't want to have to sit there and judge Scoot in a dress.
No, put the proper wig on Scoot, I think you would. It looks fine.
Measure your words. Mitchell Lavin last night, 6 tackles. He's impressive again in limited action. Left the field with cramps, and last year made this roster. Look, one of the things I think is intriguing about him, Bobby, is he can play snaps inside and outside.
Yeah, and that is so critical. D-tackle, D-N, and the one thing you can never question, very similar to Trey Hendrickson, but I think he even has more flexibility than Trey Hendrickson is the motor. They both high motor players. If you look, he led the team 6, not even assists, 6 individual tackles. He had a quarterback hit, a quarterback hurry, however you want to describe it. He had 2 tackles for a loss. So, he's just a good old boy. I mean, you talk to him, he just sounds like a football player, and he loves football. Very coachable. He'll do whatever the coaches ask him to do. So, he'd be the type of player that the other NFL teams are well aware in the scouting departments that – in other words, he's not a sleeper. Other teams know about him, and like you said, the flexibility at defensive tackle, and whether you put him at D-tackle or D-N, he is that good. And you know what's crazy is how you develop as a player. I mean, I can remember him at Arkansas, but I don't remember him being that dominant, in college football.
Well,
he
was a tight end.
Yeah,
he moved around from tight end, D-line.
Right.
I think they even had him at fullback at one point, I want to say. I mean, he switched positions like 3 times at Arkansas. And look, here's the thing. You mentioned it, Bobby, and again, you know better than me, but he's an effort guy, but also he's kind of limited, though. He's got one move, and it's kind of power. He relies a lot on power. He's not going to do a whole lot of speed rushing. But and then again, if you're a rotational guy, you can afford to be a little bit more one-dimensional.
Well, he just needs to stay healthy. All I know is when you've watched him in the preseason last year, he had a strong preseason, in the previous season to make the roster. And then, he only played in just 2 games before he had that season-ending injury. So I think he's in their plans. I think he's more comfortable. He's obviously more experienced. He feels like he belongs. So now he just needs to avoid an injury. But I think he's definitely in the Saints' plans.
Coming back for James in New Orleans, Bobby in English Turn, and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. After the first preseason game, which Saint hurt their chances the most to make the roster, final roster? Linebacker Colton Jumper, cornerback Devontae Harris, cornerback P.J. Williams, running back Shane Vereen, defensive end Al Quadine Muhammad. How about LSU as well? They're installing the largest video screen in college baseball. Check out the story online at WWL.com. Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian here on Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on Saints Radio. To the phones we go, James in New Orleans. You're on WWL, James.
Hey, good afternoon, Christian. Bob, how y'all doing?
All right, James, what you got?
Hey, bring up a few points. I know the Saints look kind of raw yesterday, but another thing is I think if any fan would see how vital a pass rush is on that first series, is how they just went up and down the field.
Right, yeah. I mean, come on. I don't care if it's high school, college, or pros, you give up a 15-play drive. I mean, Sean Payton will be even looking at Dennis Allen. Come on, we got to get him off the field. But that's where the game counts or doesn't count. You never want to be given up. That's even beyond a double-digit drive. 15 plays, that's seems like, man, we didn't even get the ball in the first quarter.
Yeah, but then another point about what another thing that we, you talk about, maybe you can elaborate a little more on this, about making big plays, not big plays in big moments and critical moments. Just the difference is, that strip sack, which I don't even remember the guy's name, even if he's going to make the roster this year. What was his name?
Jerron Elliott, when he went for ball hawking. Yeah, he punched out the ball. Listen, what's awesome, you get a sack, strip, fumble, and all that. Then you even recover because it lands on your lap. But just knock the ball out. That's one thing Ricky Jackson excelled at, And a lot of young players, you know, they get so close to the quarterback that they just want to – now, the rules have changed. It used to be, man, I want to knock the crap out of the quarterback. How about go for the ball and knock the ball out, isn't it? That's even more important. I mean, just almost take the approach. Remember Greg Williams saying this, and even old school like Jerry Glanville, when the quarterback has it in his hands and he's getting ready to throw it, just almost go break his arm. And there's no way he's going to hold on to the ball. Just target the ball. Ready for
right,
your
James, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Ready for your chance to win $1,000 in Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is WISE. Text WISE to 72881. That's 72881. Text now, and you can win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour, every hour, now through 6 p.m. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.